Please welcome founding national consultant and my buddy, Mr. Brian McClure. Brian, you're on the line?
I'm here, Bear. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. We're looking forward to this one, bud.
Well, I am too. I tell you, I've had a heck of a week. We are getting ready to sell our house that we raised the kids in and have moved to a rental house and all in Austin, but it's kind of been a bear of a week. So you get rid of 20 years of clutter and get everything moved into a smaller house is not an easy task. So I'm a little worn out, but I'm excited about tonight doing Q&A. And again, I want to repeat, if you send an email to topambitleaders.com, what I'm going to do is just go down in the order that I get them and read the question, do my best I can to answer it. So hopefully if you have something that's a customer service issue, obviously I can't address that. I don't have access to database or anything like that. But if you have a question about something that's maybe stopping you in your business or something that, you know, you always were just curious about and never could get an answer, I might not have the answer either, but if I do, I'd be glad to share it with you. All right, so let's hop right into it. We have a growing team of leaders, and we have a live business presentation every Tuesday night. In your opinion, who should be speaking in front of the room? We have some leaders with good speaking skills but haven't promoted to RC. We have a few people who are promoting and have promoted to RC and SC but lack skill in public speaking. Okay, it's a great question. And what I want to say is that business presentation is for the guests. The only purpose of that live business presentation is to enroll somebody that is a guest at that meeting into the business. So what happens quite often is politics get involved in the meeting, and this person's got a higher rank than that person, and there's egos involved, and this person thinks they're a better speaker than the other person, and you know, maybe the person running the meeting is putting somebody in their downline up, but it's a meeting that's open to everybody in the organization. So there's all the, you know, question about, oh, he puts that person up because he's coded that person. There's all that sort of noise and foolishness and politics, and it's just all ridiculous, okay? If you're running a meeting, you have to rise above all that. You know, I mean, first off, there should be a leadership team for that meeting. It should include all aspects of the organization, and clearly stated in that meeting should be, we're going to put the best speakers at the front of the room. So what that means is certainly it's an edification of somebody if they're given the business presentation. So if you're got three or four or five guests there, and there's 50 people there, and you're one of the speakers that night, they're going to understand you're a player in the business. But you have to earn the right to be able to speak in front of that room. And earning the right is not necessarily a promotion level. What it is good dynamic communication skills. You know, not only being able to go over the script, but be able to have the right energy and be able to interject a little humor every once in a while and be able to get the crowd going in your direction. So it's very important that you have the best people. So let's say you have somebody that's bringing a whole bunch of people. They're not a very good speaker. They're an SC. They're growing. They're going to go become EC. What I would suggest is that the leadership group put together a speaker practice, okay? So presenter practice is simply everybody gets there at 6:30 and practices the first part of the presentation and gets good at it, and other people are sitting there critiquing them, and that person gets better and better and better and better. You don't become a better speaker by thinking about being a better speaker. You become a better speaker by being a better speaker. So if you've got somebody of equal speaking talents and one person's not even promoted or an RC and somebody else is an SC with guests in the room, then the SC with the guests in the room get the nod. But just because somebody has rank does not necessarily mean that you're going to put them at the front of the room if they're not a good speaker. Again, the purpose of the meeting is to enroll people into the business, and the energy and the dynamics at which the presentation is presented to them does make a difference. All right, so let's move on to the next one. We've all heard the announcement that solar energy would be rolled out in the first 4 weeks, four states in September. Do you have any idea how quickly that will expand to other states? And also, do you think this will eventually expand to regulated states also? Okay, the short answer to it is no, I don't know. But I can tell you what my gut is. And this is strictly my opinion. It's not coming from corporate. I don't have any inside scoop. I would be shocked that we would move to states that were not selling electricity and or natural gas in before we expand all the states that we are selling it in. So I would assume that the rollout is going to be within the states we're in and within the states that SunTrust is Sunrun is doing business in. And then at some point in the future, and keep in mind, I'm sure that, and again, I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm sure there are going to be additional territories and possibly additional states announced to the ambition. So it's going to take a while to roll out. And as that time frame is going on, we're going to expand into more states. And so I think you're way down the road before you see even the possibility. And again, this is just my business acumen speaking. I don't see the sense necessarily in going into a state like Florida or something like that, which would be a good solar state, but we don't have any electricity and natural gas before, and I'll emphasize before, we get rolled out in all the states where we have a multiple product offering. We're not going to make as much money collectively, and solar is going to have its drawbacks and how quickly you get the point, so on and so forth. And all that's common sense. This is what I'll tell you. Don't worry about solar. You're not going to make any money off of solar. They're going to announce it. They're going to roll it out. We'll learn everything about solar. Go out and ask somebody to listen for right now. Okay, that was a good question. I'm going to skip any other questions about solar, by the way. Hi, Brian. What is the one mistake you've made in Ambit and you don't want others to make? You know, came in pretty experienced, and certainly I'm not without having made mistakes, but haven't made a whole lot of them because I just had the experience coming in. Mistakes personally, there was about a 2-month period of time where I basically took some time off. I told the people I was personally working with that, you know, I was going to slow down. It was over one holiday period, and I've been going really, really strong for years at that point. I don't know that was necessarily a mistake, but you know what I can tell you is that anytime you slow down, anytime you push the pause button, what happens is you don't get the same exponential growth, and that costs you money. So, but outside of that, you know, everybody's human. I mean, I make plenty of mistakes, but not something that I think was really hugely detrimental to my Ambit business. All right. What would you define, in quotes, mental toughness and how it applies to building our Ambit business? Well, y'all have heard me talk about this quite a bit. If you've been on this call or gone by Yellow Jacket Mentoring or Power Trip or any of the things that where I'm speaking, there are two parts to any business. There's the mechanical part of the business. That's, you know, how to build a sales and marketing organization. And there's a methodology to that, a mechanics behind that, getting the written list, making sure you ask somebody to take a look. You're not asking somebody to join, going through the system of written list, invitation, presentation, validation. We don't have time on this call to get into that. That's the mechanical part of the business. The mental part of the business is the tougher part of the business. So I want you to think about this for a second. Everybody on this call has the exact same consultant support, the exact same customer support, the exact same fee to get involved in Ambit, the exact same power zone, the exact same recruiting videos. Everything that we have is the same. So why is it that there's some people on this call making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month? And why is it there's some people on this call that are struggling to make $100 a month? Well, there's some reasons for that. I mean, one could be that one person's been in the business, you know, 8.5 years, and another person's been in the business a week, you know, so there's some logical reasons. But the main reason of why somebody makes money over time, or why somebody doesn't, or why somebody limits themselves to the amount of money that they can make in an opportunity that has no limits placed on it, is the mental part of the game. You know, every single person that has ever quit doing Ambit, and people don't necessarily resign, they just kind of acquiesce out, the business life gets in the way, and, you know, they get distracted, and all of a sudden they're just not doing it anymore. You know, every single person that's done that has had the same exact mechanical vehicle to work with, as far as compensation being the same and all the things I just went over, as the person who's making a lot of money. So what took them out of the business was not the rates or the polar vortex or any of that. What took them out of the business is their mind. There was a thought that got planted, a seed of doubt that got planted. Action will take out, doubt will take out of action. Action will take out of doubt. So somewhere along the way, the little seed of doubt got planted. Maybe somebody wouldn't be their customer. They heard something in a meeting, or the rates went up and they didn't think they were competitive anymore, a combination thereof. And it built up to a point where they mentally made the decision, maybe not verbally, maybe not picking up the phone, calling consultant support, say, I'll resign it as an Ambit Energy consultant. But they made the decision mentally to no longer engage in the business. So, you know, how mental toughness, back to the question, applies to building our Ambit business, it's the start-stop button. You know, if you can't build a mental toughness, if you can't overcome all the negatives that are going to occur, then eventually you're not going to be doing Ambit Energy. You know, the bottom line is that you're going to acquiesce or retire or quit or go to another opportunity or do something besides Ambit. It's not going to be the vehicle of positive change for you financially anymore, and off you go. So in essence, what I'll tell you is that mental toughness is our business. You know, if you look at the mechanical side of the business, anybody can learn it. If you've got a big enough why, you'll figure out how to go do it. It's the mental toughness that'll keep you in the business or take you out of the business. So, in essence, it really becomes our business. Okay, next question. Could you expound on what kind of mindset it takes to be successful, not only in Ambit, but in life itself? You know, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, positive mental attitude, and certainly that's part of it. But I think that there's other aspects besides positive mental attitude. One that comes to mind immediately off the top of my head that I think is very, very important, not just in Ambit, but in life, is that you have character, that you have integrity, you know, that you do the business right, you know, that you're not trying to scam the system or get in a gray area or, you know, acquire customers from some sort of methodology that's not supported or endorsed by the company. You know, whatever it is, you've got to have character in everything that you do in life. And as soon as you start having integrity issues and having character issues, what happens with a lack of character, there's zero possibility of leadership, because no one's going to follow you. As soon as they see that there's a character flaw in you and the way you conduct business and who you are as a person, immediately they're going to flee to and follow somebody else. So, you know, I think that character, integrity are very, 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 very important as your mindset. You know, your moral and ethical fiber and how you do business, how you treat people is important. You know, I'll tell you this, that all the positive thought in the world won't make you any money. It's only massive positive action that will make you money. You know, so we have people in Ambit Energy that are the most excited, most positive, forward-thinking people. When you ask them about Ambit, they just explode with enthusiasm and glee, and they just can't say enough things about Ambit. Nothing gets them down. You know, any of the challenges that occur, they work through all that and everything, and they have 100% mastered positive thought and total belief in Ambit. But they don't make any money. And the reason they don't make any money is they're not able to transcend from positive thought to massive positive action. And a lot of that, in a lot of instances, not all, but in a lot of instances, it's because they're not coachable. They think they're better, smarter, you know, their ego's getting in the way. Oh, I can't go ask this person because of this, or I can't do this because of that. They stop themselves. The only person that can stop you in life or in ambient energy is yourself. And so they stop themselves through preconceived notions, through self-esteem issues, through, you know, basically allowing their past to rule the present. You can't transform and move into a new environment, into a new income realm, into different socioeconomic group that other than the one that you're currently involved with, unless you leave behind all of your friends. You know, I ask in my seminars all the time, who in this room wants to be in the top 1% income earners in the United States of America? And inevitably, 99 out of 100 hands go up. And the bottom line is that if you want to be in the top 1% income earners in America, you're going to have to leave 99 out of your 100 friends, out of every 100 friends you have behind. In other words, the fact that a friend or a family member or somebody that you know, love, or trust doesn't become your customer, doesn't follow you into ambient energy, doesn't believe in what you believe in, doesn't mean you have to quit becoming their friend. It just means that the probability that they're going to advance in the socioeconomic way that you are, get out of the apartment, into the home, get rid of the clunker, get a new car, get out of debt, be able to start to take trips, be able to enjoy life, go by the boat, go to the lake while they're still working their second job on the weekend, you're just going to have to leave those people behind. It doesn't mean that you don't love them and get together with them from time to time, but that's difficult. So you've got to have a mindset of being able to move on in life, and you can't let the past rule the present, and that's what most people do their entire life. Will the initial fee ever return to $429, or have they decided on a new figure? I don't know the answer. Is the truth to it? What I will tell you is that I do believe that the fee will return to $429. My gut tells me is that there'll be some sort of permanent reduction at Ambition, but again, I don't know what that is. It's not going to be a $29 fee or a, you know, $75 fee or probably even a $150 fee. You know, maybe $399 or $329 or $299 or something like that. The reason that I think that there's going to be a reduction is twofold. Number one, there's pressure within the industry to get the upfront fees, and I'm talking within the direct selling industry, to get the upfront fees lower, if at all possible, for the company to do that. In other words, the trend in the industry is to get the higher fees to become involved in the business to become lower. That's number one. Number two is the reason that we don't take applications from consultants in states like North Carolina and Louisiana and some of the others is that the state law in those states, for Louisiana, for example, it says that any opportunity, any cost to join an opportunity above $200, I believe it's actually $200 or above, they consider by state law, state statute, this is all done on a state basis, on a federal basis, that it's a franchise. And so for us, so what happens when you're declared a franchise is you've got to have a franchise offering circular. You've got to release your financials. There's a lot of requirements that are required, and it depends on the state what the requirements are, and licensing involved to become a franchise, to be able to offer a franchise opportunity within the state. Ambient Energy is just never going to do that. And so even though the states that do have the lower requirements, I think there are about six or seven of them, are none of the states that we're in outside of Connecticut. The bottom line is that, you know, moving forward and as things move forward, if we could have a fee that would accommodate some of those states, you know, we'd be better off for it, because I might have an uncle in North Carolina who's got a brother who lives in a son or something that lives in New York that can kill the business, but he can't join the business because he's in North Carolina. So don't know if it'll return to $429. If it does, I think You know, we'd be before ambition, so probably at this point, that's probably not going to happen. You know, what, we're 3 weeks out or something like that. And, you know, I would, you know, if I had a crystal ball, and again, this is nothing coming from corporate, believe me, I would say that there'd be an announcement at ambition that would be something, something sub $429 for a permanent change, not a promotion. Okay, good question. Okay. All right, no subject. Sent from AOL mobile phone testing. Well, I can't answer the word testing. When you set an appointment with somebody and they promise that they'll watch your video or use your tool, then they ignore your follow-up. Is it best to forget about them or just try to follow up with them a few days, weeks, or months later? Well, one thing that you can do, and if you go back and listen to some past calls that I've done on Sunday night, I've talked about salting their oats. In other words, how to get people, a lot of times people will agree to watch your video. You know, hopefully you're using Energy 526. I'm not against, but I'm not a believer in any of the other systems that are out there just because it's an added expense and another hoop that somebody has to jump through. But regardless of what you're using, you know, hopefully, and I've never had any other system except Energy 526 and the DVD and the Success From Home magazine, but you know, and I've built a massive organization based on that, but the bottom line is that they'll promise to watch the video to get you off the phone, and then you'll call them back, oh, no, I haven't had a chance to watch the video, and then when they figure out you're going to be persistent, they don't answer their phone call anymore. So really, they had no intention in a lot of instances of watching the video. They thought it would just kind of go away if they agreed to watch the video. They didn't want to tell you they didn't watch the video. So you really didn't have an agreement. You got a verbal confirmation that, yes, they'd write the watch the video, but you didn't have their mental agreement that they really wanted to watch the video. So you've got to salt their oats. You've got to make them so hungry to watch that video that a higher percentage, and you're never going to get 100% to watch it, but you're going to get a higher percentage of people that will watch the video. If they don't call you back and if they ignore your call and so on and so forth, you know, after a couple of calls, the voicemail message I would leave for them is, hey, Bob, look, your friendship means the world to me. You know, I don't want this ambient energy thing to get in the way of that. I've left you a couple of messages. I'm not going to call you again. All I can tell you is this thing's blowing up. It's a great, great opportunity. If you're too busy to look at the video, that's fine. I'll leave it in your capable hands to get back in touch with me if there's anything I can do to help. I will reserve the right every once in a while just to touch base with you and keep you posted. I know you're interested in my business, even if you decide not to get involved in the business. Click and don't call them back. 6 months later, Chris Chambliss is coming to town, Jerry Thompson is coming to town, Steve Thompson, Ray Monty, Brian McClure, you know, some superstars coming to town. Hey, man, I wanted to let you know, no, we hadn't talked about ambient energy. Appreciate that, but I wanted to let you know that, you know, Jerry Thompson, who's the grandson of the founder of 7-Eleven and is the CEO of ambient energy, is coming to town. He only makes it to town about once every 2 years or so. I just thought I'd be remiss if I didn't let you know about it, didn't know if things changed for you or if it just kind of got lost in the shuffle. But if you're interested, call me, and I'll give you the details. Maybe even I can swing by and pick you up, but I'll need to hear from you pretty quickly. If they don't call you, wait another 6 months. And when the next big announcement comes, we're going into solar. Hey, man, I wanted to let you know that Ambit Energy is going into solar in our state, and, you know, it's a heck of an opportunity. And what I wanted to really talk to you about is putting solar on your house and see how it will work. So little things like that where you can just be the five-second touch, keep it in front of them, and here's why. Because circumstances in life change. I'll tell you a real quick story. I had a guy in my business, or I had a guy that was trying to recruit into the business, and he was a hidey-tidy banker for, you know, big, well-known bank in the city. This was back when I was in XL Telecommunications, and this was in New Orleans, and he was kind of with the top bank in town, and I sat down with him. I showed him the business, bought him lunch. You know, I'm not interested. It's a conflict with my banking, blah, 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 blah. About 3 weeks later, he calls me. or 2 weeks, something like that. He goes, and I'm thinking, okay, he wants my banking business, right? He said, hey, I'd like to have lunch with you again and chat with you about some things. Long story short, you know, I said, well, sure, and, you know, but I'm happy with the bank that I'm in. No, 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 man, it's not about me trying to get your banking business. I want to talk to you about Excel. So we sat down for lunch and basically told me, hey, he was a senior vice president. We were, you know, having major cutbacks, and I got canned, you know, got fired. And Ambit Excel did interest me, but I just thought it'd be a conflict with the bank. I knew there were some issues with the bank. I didn't want to do anything to upset the bank. And so the point of the story is that the timing was different for them. You know, so if there's some sort of catastrophic cancer enters the family and they've got to get hold of some money, things, major events can occur in people's lives where the timing changes their attitude towards looking at a business like ours. So the worst thing you can do is keep calling them and calling them and calling them, because what you're doing is you're coming from a point of weakness. You know, strength follows strength, weakness follows weakness. So if you're calling people, begging them to call you back, they're sitting there going, hey, you know, if this thing's so great, why is Brian calling me 3 times a week trying to get me to look at this stupid thing? You know, you should have better things, and you should just go work with, you know, people that are making it happen for him. So you don't want to keep calling back again. Leave a message, tell them your friendship means a lot to you. You're not going to keep calling back if you'll wait for them to call you back. Another thing it does for you is mentally it puts a cap on it for you. You know, you've ended that. You don't have to keep them on your list anymore. You put them on the touch them every once in a while tickler list, and you move on. You know, so many times I see consultants calling the same 20, 30, 40 people over and over and over again because in their world they showed some sort of interest or said that they were going to look at the video or they would come to a meeting or whatever. Folks, you have to understand, people are more likely to avoid conflict than to tell you, no, I'm not interested in the business. And that about 95% of the time is what's happening. They're just not interested. They're not going to watch it, so just don't put yourself through the pain. Don't waste the time. Your time's valuable. Do you see a parallel to cell phones and how it changed telecom deregulation and how solar is changing energy deregulation? I really don't. I think solar's here to stay. I think as the cost of solar decreases, it's starting to come in the realm of possibility as an alternative, you know, with the programs, one of which we're going to participate in, the Sunrun, is, you know, you put the panels on your house, and, you know, it's a 20-year lock-in, and you're going to get some benefit from that, and it's not going to cost you a dime. If you were to go out and buy the panels today, you're still looking at a, you know, 7 to 10-year return of investment, and then you got to wait for the return on your investment. For the most part, people aren't going to do that. The return is too far out unless they have some ecology or environmental emotional attachment to what solar can do, and they want to, you know, from an environmental perspective, want to do it. But solar is just now economically starting to come into its own, and as that improves, which it has over the past several years, you know, more and more people will do solar. But folks, it's never going to replace electricity, and it's never going to be the dominant way that we get our electricity. There are a lot of people that just can't even have solar because their exposure to the roof's not right, or their trees covering the exposure, just, you know, or the roof's too small, and on and on and on and on and on. With the neighborhood that they live in, the solar panels aren't going to be there the next night after they got put on the night before. Just a ton of different reasons. Solar is an alternative energy source. It always will be. It'll be one that we can make a lot of money off of, but I don't see the parallel between solar and what cell phones did to the public payphone industry, which has essentially eliminated it. I don't see that happening. People are going to tell you this. People are going to tell you that. People are going to go on the internet and read about bad customer experiences, but they could go on the internet and read about bad customer experiences with Time Warner, DirecTV, or, you know, Gex, or Direct Energy, or TXU, or Reliant, or, you know, any of the companies in the in any of the other markets. You know, so you know, Bob, what I can tell you, I'm talking to Bob, brand new consultant, is you're going to have to ask 10 people to get one or two customers. So don't go out there with the expectation that this makes all the common sense in the world and that everybody's going to be your customer. With that said, let me work with you to help you gather your customers. Okay, so if you set the expectation, then when they get the door slammed in their face or they get the negatives, you've already covered all the negatives with them. Yeah, well, that's what Brian told me was going to happen. Oh, yeah, well, okay, now I've gotten three no's. Okay, well, let me, you know, Brian told me I might get 7, 8, 9, 10 no's before I get a yes. So it's just the way this thing works. Now, you're not having that discussion before they enroll in Ambit, but you're having that discussion. You're setting the expectation before they go out and gather customers. So many times, you know, the reason we get paid our bonuses is to help others do the same thing. In other words, to help people go and gather customers. You know, the worst thing you can do, and what happens with a lot of people that have problems with their consultants gathering customers, is they tell them to go gather customers. They don't help them. They just tell them, okay? And there's three ways you can gather customers. You can go rate shop, okay? You can go and, you know, pitch the rate. You know, hey, it's a great, you know, blah, 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 and you're basically pulling out their bill and doing the cost comparison. I can tell you, depending on your sphere of influence, you're going to get one, maybe two out of 10 to be your customer doing that. They've been there, done that. You know, it just doesn't work well. The best way to gather customers is to go out and show them the business. And when they say no to the business or they say maybe, and they don't join the business right then and there, just say, well, look, let me get you started and become a customer. Let's go through a couple of billing cycles, see the savings for yourself, and then we'll go from there. They will join you as a customer because it's a nice way for them to back out of having to become a consultant. You know, in the earlier question we had about people, you know, having to call them back 3, 4, and 5 times, you know, hey, just sign them up as a customer. Say, hey, Bob, listen, I want to talk to you because what I'd like to do is maybe probably the best way for you to get started in the business is just become my customer. You know, if the consultant thing's not for you right now, hey, I understand that. But, you know, it'd be a huge favor for me. So if you ask somebody for the favor, okay, you're going to get two or three to become your customer. And, again, it depends on your sphere of influence and your relationship with from whom you're asking or with whom you're asking. If you show them the business, because so many of them are not going to join the business, and it's a nice way for them to back out of joining the business by becoming your customer, you might get 5 or 6 out of 10. So my guess is that if no one's getting any customers, you're leaving them to their own devices, number one. Number two, you're probably not setting the expectation that it's not easy. Number three, you're allowing them to go gather customers in a methodology that has a lower probability of success. Can you share with anybody what everyone should be doing to get more people registered for Ambition? Great question from a great friend, so I appreciate that, Beverly. And what I can tell you is, folks, we're 3 weeks out. There's nothing more important than getting your people to Ambition. You know, what you need to do is you have to do it with enthusiasm, you have to do it with excitement, and you have to tell people that if they want to be successful, they've got to get on the Whatever It Takes program and get themselves to Ambition. Forget the excuse program, but there's statistical evidence that's tracked by Ambit Energy where they look at all the people that came to Ambition and what their production was the 90 days after Ambition versus the ones that were active in the business. And we're not talking about the inactive ones, but the people that are building the business, putting people in the business and gathering customers that don't come to Ambition. And it's several times. It's not like a 20% increase. It's like a tenfold increase in production. So it's not just about getting you to Ambition, but it's getting your people to Ambition. And the bottom line is that, you know, particularly with the airfares the way they are, there was a $99 round-trip airfare coming out of Pittsburgh day before yesterday. There was $119 coming out of New York. The airfares are dirt cheap going into Dallas for some reason this year. There's no excuse, and you ought to be spending an inordinate amount of your time right now getting people registered and getting them to Ambition. Brian, why is it not too late to get started in Ambit? I hear from many that it's too late to start now in him. But, you know, the bottom line is that's just ignorance. And what you have to do is you have to talk about facts. You know, the fact is that in Texas, 94 out of 100 people are eligible to be our customer. In New York, 96 out of 100 are eligible to be our customer. In all the other states that we're in, about 99 out of 100 people are eligible to be your customer. It's all about customer acquisition. How in the world could anybody think it's too late? I mean, that's the facts. I mean, we've got about 1% market share or less than 1% market share in the other 12 states that we're in. In the District of Columbia, we've got about 4 or 5% in New York and 5 or 6% in Texas. And I'm sure at Ambition, they're going to open up a state that we got 0% in. You know, so even if you're in Texas, you know, 94 out of 100 people could be your customer, and it's too late. I don't think so. You know, I actually think that the timing to get involved in our business is better now than ever. But what I can tell you, Dale, is you can't fix stupid. So if somebody wants to think that, that's okay. Hey guys, the sunshine in St. Louis. I'm very coachable, but however, I've had several consultants that are not. I text them every morning about the prayer call and leadership call. Should I stop? You know, you can't push a rope, sunshine. What I can tell you is the sun's either shining for them or it's doom and gloom. And the bottom line is, and everybody on this call, listen to this. Hopefully no one hung up. Okay? You shouldn't spend a second of time motivating people. Now, hopefully what we do is motivational for people, but you cannot motivate people. You know, if their connection to why they're doing the business is not strong enough to get them to get up and do what they've got to do to be successful in Ambit Energy, there's nothing you can say, do. There's no call you can make. There's no text, email. There's nothing you can do to remind them. You know, the bottom line is people are either going to do the business or they're not. And what I'll tell you, and I wish it wasn't like this, but the majority of people aren't going to do the business. 80% of the business of the people that get involved in Ambit Energy are gone within the first 6 months. And it's not because Ambit's not a good opportunity. It's because they didn't do what they had to do to be successful. You can't change people, okay? Understand that the majority of people that get involved in this business or any other direct selling business or opens a flower shop or opens a restaurant or goes into retail or a mechanic shop or does consulting on the internet or builds websites or whatever business it is, the vast majority of them are going to fail. And the reason they're going to fail is people won't pay the price they got to do to make it. They have to make it successful. I'm being hit with the question in the video. It states no cost to switch. However, our customer has to pay a deposit. That's a cost to switch. Oh, how do I justify the statement? It's not a cost. It's a deposit. There's a distinct difference between a cost and a deposit. If a person has good credit, there is no deposit. There is no cost to switch. It's not an incorrect statement at all. You know, I went over the deposit thing earlier. It only applies to Texas, but there is no cost to switch. And the other thing that I'll tell you is if that person goes and applies someplace else, they're going to get a deposit too. A deposit is not a cost. It is a deposit. What that means is that they're taking their money and they're depositing it with Ambit, and upon final payment of their last bill, they're going to get their money back. That's not a cost, okay? That's a deposit. So the statement is correct, and for you to view a deposit as a cost is incorrect. Do you know if Southern California, Southern Cal Edison, is going to allow Ambit in? I've been a consultant for 1 week. I get nervous talking to people. What is the best way to approach someone? Okay. The first thing, I'll answer the second question first. The only thing you're trying to get somebody to do, since you're 1 week in, and listen to this carefully, the only thing you're trying to get somebody to do is to look at the video, whether it's on the DVD or over the internet. You're not trying to get them to join, okay? You're trying to get them to look at the video, so tell them that. Say, Mary, look, I'm not trying to, I've joined a new business. I'm excited about it. I'm not assuming for a second that it's something you'd be interested in. but I'd like to get your opinion on it. And I'm not asking you to join. All I'm asking you to do is give me 20, 25 minutes of your time to take a look at a video. If it does have an interest to you, I'll be glad to talk to you. I am looking for business partners, but would you do me a personal favor and just take a look at the video and give me your opinion? Okay, so usually if you're being stopped mentally, it's because you think you're trying to sell something to somebody. Most people do not like sales. This isn't sales. What you're trying to do is get a commitment to get them to watch a video. The video will either sell them or it won't sell them. And as far as Southern California or Southern California Edison, I really have no idea. I don't know what, if there are issues there. I know nothing about it, so I wouldn't be the person to address that. What I do know is we don't get paid money to worry about it, so work where we can make money. We and most of our customers are Ambit Energy in New Jersey, where the guaranteed saving plan was rolled out after simulcast 2014. Right after simulcast in January 2014, we converted ourselves from AMR customers and customers to downline team members. We and several of our customers are now coming up to 200 days since our first year on the guaranteed savings plan expired. Neither ourselves or any of our customers, personal and downline, have received their savings letter, with the exception of one customer who received his letter last week, but only after much chasing with consultant support. The system seems to be taking out many customers into manual auditing, and Ambit cannot seem, okay, this is a customer service issue. I don't have any knowledge of that, so I'm going to just skip it. And it's not that I'm trying to avoid it. It's I don't have anything to do with sending out letters. I don't know if they are or they aren't sending out letters. I can't fix it. If it were an overwhelming systems problem, my email would be blown up, my text would be blown up, and my voicemail box would be filled to the gills. When there's major problems, I hear about it. I'm certainly not going to defend Ambit to the point of saying they're perfect and they do everything perfectly. There may be a pocket of customers, or you know, in a certain geographical area, that there's some sort of glitch or something. I don't know, but this is something that has to be addressed with consultant support. Of New York, having some difficulty getting customers. How can I justify the reason the neighbor on the left has a bill that is $30 less than the neighbor on the right? I get the scam negativity, and I'm not sure how to answer them. Well, I guess I'm not 100% sure of the question. If one neighbor's bill is less than the other's, and they're both on the same carriers because they're using less electricity, I mean, that's comparing apples to oranges. You know, pretty simple analysis on what they're paying per kilowatt hour. Basically, what you do is you take the pre-tax subtotal, so you don't figure in the tax, because that's a percentage of the bill. You take the pre-subtax total, divide it by the number of kilowatts, which is clearly stated on the bill, and that gives you what the equivalent comparison is to our rate. Some people do unbundled bills, so you can't look at the line item that says they're paying 6.976 per kilowatt hour, and we're at 10 cents. Well, they're not figuring in the meter reading charge and the delivery and transmission and all the rest of it. So just skip through all that. Don't look at the line items. Get the subtotal, pre-tax subtotal, divided by the number of kilowatts. That's what they're paying per kilowatt. And then look at what Ambit would be. And, you know, let's say we save them a half a cent per kilowatt. Multiply that by the number of kilowatts, and that's what their savings would be. I hope I answered that question. I'm not sure that I did. I'm having problems with people taking me seriously. What I'm not doing, how can I turn that around? Well, I don't know your personal circumstance. You know, if you're young, sometimes you're going to older people and they're going, oh, what's this kid, you know, talking to me about this business, and I've never been in business themselves. Maybe you've been in a ton of MLMs, and you know, this is the 15th one you've taken to the same person, and so they're not taking you seriously. I don't know what the set of circumstances are. Maybe, you know, there could be other circumstances. I'm just not sure. But the bottom line is that if you learn the mechanics of how to recruit, if you get a written list, and a written list you build that in depth, what happens is, whether it's you're young or you're not in a strong socioeconomic group and people perceive themselves to be smarter than you are, whatever it is, as you remove yourself as the issue, they don't know that you're a broke person working by the hour, or that you're a young person or whatever. So, you know, in the mechanics of how to build a sales and marketing organization is, you get the written list, even though people may not have joined, they're turning on to more and more people to talk to. I call that third level, third generation of prospect down, decentralization. And the reason that level is labeled decentralization is you're decentralized as the issue. So initially, when you're talking to people that you know, they may know that you've never been real successful, or they may know that you're young, or, you know, whatever the preconceived notion is towards you, or that you've been in a million different direct selling companies, that there are states that you're not allowed to be MC in. It's what I mentioned earlier and answered one of the questions earlier. There's state statute that says you can't charge over X amount. In Louisiana, I think it's $199 without being a franchise. So because we don't do business in those states, you know, North Carolina is one, Louisiana is one, I forget what the other ones are, but I think the Dakotas maybe, or some states out there that don't really count. State of Washington, I think, is one. The reason is because the state statute puts a limit on what you can charge for a business opportunity without it being considered a franchise. Since we don't do business in those states, it's just easier for us to just say you can't, if you reside in those states, you can't become a consultant. So that's the reason. All right, I want to mention with you a little bit of a theme tonight, and I'm going to close on this. As I got a little bit of a theme of having problems gathering customers. You know, what I can tell you is get some upline coaching, you know, get with leaders, go to your local meeting, start to talk to people that have been successful, have been built big organizations, tie yourself into trainings. You know, there are a lot of trainings that customer gathering and how to ask people to become your customer are part of the trainings. You know, a lot of the city trainings and regional trainings. You know, reach out for help. This is what I can tell you don't want to do. If you're not gathering customers, you don't want to keep doing it the way you've been doing it, because that's not working. Obviously, with you know, a million plus customers on the books at Ambit Energy, we're able to gather customers. You just have to be coached on the right methodology in order to do that. All right, so I think we set a new record and went over an hour. Unless maybe for the call after ambition, we usually go a little bit long. I hope that was helpful. I would encourage you each and every week to get on this call. I want to thank Bear Gordon for hosting it every single week. It's a Herculean effort to schedule to contribute to the community. And I'll encourage you to, if you have some coaching that you need, you can go to topambitleaders.com. You can click on training and click on the Sunday night business builder call. There's a lot of great information in there on a myriad of subjects. So with that, Bear, let's open it back up. Encourage everybody, get to ambition, and more importantly, get your people there. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, Brian, you mentioned topambitleaders.com. I just want to recommend to everyone that you know, you gave a lot of great information tonight, and some of it was your opinion, and you clearly stated it as such, and some of it was absolute fact. Folks, when you're sharing this information with other people, the best thing that you can do is let them hear it directly from Brian McClure. Go to topambitleaders.com, send them to topambitleaders.com, tell them to listen to the call, remind them when the call is so that they don't miss it in the future. That's the best way to get this information out to your people. Let them hear it from Brian himself. I want to thank you.